Welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages around the world. My name is Jimena, and today we will hear the second part of our interview with Camila, one of the founders of Smoco, an acting school in Melbourne, a fully Spanish language space where migrant stories are at the center. Camila joined us to talk about why migrant-led creative spaces matter and how storytelling can empower people far from home, and what Smoco is building for the future.
Oh, we think it's essential. We did some theater in English, and there's some identity lost in the translation. I think listening to a story of a person in their native language has like a layer of depth that is hard to transmit in another language. Not saying that you cannot, of course, but even like people who are native English speakers and do not speak Spanish have told us that just listening to someone express themselves in their own language, it's like really powerful to see. It's sort of like another layer that adds some beauty. And it's a way of like also defending, or it's a statement of who we are. Like, it's a space that we are all day speaking English, adapting ourselves, learning. We feel tight because sometimes we run out of words. And Smoco, like, the intention is like this sort of like safe space where I can like talk my language, and we can make use of a space that is ours. Like, there is a space for Hispanic migrants in Melbourne, and we should not like change. Like, this is a migrant space, and I think we have to show ourselves to the Melbourne audience as we are. We're working very hard to make the translations more easy so people can follow along. So that's something that we want to improve. But I think there's a beauty on listening a language as it is. And I think it's very good for the Melbourne audience to see authenticity at its like core. We always see like Netflix in English, but now slowly we see Korean movies in Korean. So I think we're educating an audience to start making like sense that like not everything has to be translated to the English. Like, we have to defend our language. So that's sort of like why we're so stubborn in Spanish. Basically, each play is different. There is a structure, but there's so much from the stories that would shape the actual end result of the play, and the name and the music. So it's very like a collaborative way work. We have a structure, but there's also room for seeing what every student bring to the scene. And after the 12 weeks, there is a presentation. So we do two presentations that normally are Friday and Saturday in the upstairs theater. And that's where we invite a real audience, which are like 50 people per night. And we have the lights, and we have the music. So it's the experience of like a real play. So it's not just a course, it's the entire experience from writing, learning theater, creating a play, feeling that the play also it's created by yourself and your compañeros, your theater partners, the other students. And then the experience of doing a dress rehearsal, to be in a poster, to be in the social media. All of our courses have professional photography, yep, and videography. So besides being on a show, you have also a lot of material if you want to have a portfolio to maybe like continue. And that's like the beginner's course. That's our beginner's course of theater, testimonial theater. Then we have an advanced group. So what you saw in Colmena, those are students that have been 1 year with us. And for those groups, we do bigger presentations in large scale theater, So it's sort of like escalated. So you start with the beginner's course, you present in front of 50 people, and then you move into intermediate, and then you do a big, big show.
Thank you. That's amazing. I like that you also provide the artists with resources that will be handy for them. I think that's very like complete. And
yes.
Wow. And it's also nice to hear all the behind the scenes. Like now that I've seen Colmena, it makes me very excited about going to more plays.
Oh, thank you. It's a very fun work for Colmena. We had the help from Oti, Rocío Lamana, an amazing art director.
That's photography as well, right?
Amazing, yeah. So we invite her to join with her set design suggestions. Really amazing professional to work with, amazing photographer. So we have like a real admiration for Oti. Mm-hmm. We also had Candela that... she's an actress from Argentina, so she was a huge support for us. And every show has a support for so many people. We have this rule that everyone in Smoko, well, a rule, but we try always to work with people who are migrants. For photographer, assistants, everything, always a migrant. And yeah, so one of the things that we want to do this next year is that we're gonna, all of the courses that end in one semester, because last year the courses were like starting in like different times.
Yeah.
Now the intention is that all of the courses will start at the same day, and we're gonna have an end of trimester festival. So yeah, we're working on the first Spanish Melbourne Theatre Festival. So the idea is that it's a weekend of theater, so people can enjoy not just one, they can buy like a full pass and see all of the shows. Maybe we're going to have some talks. So we're really working on the festival, but I think that's one of like the biggest things for next year. And we also want to make all of the courses meet each other and not work in silos. This is about community. So we really want to like generate an instance where all of the courses have the chance to hang out. So yeah, we're really excited about like what's coming. It's a lot of work, but
yes, it all sounds very amazing. And I'm also understanding that Smoko is not just about words, it's also about connection, connecting also with your body, your voice, movement, community. What role do you think that physical movement or expression play in the process of the storytelling in compared to, for example, just writing your experiences down in paper?
I think it adds another layer. Not saying that just writing a story in a paper is less powerful. Like, I think I have cried with poems and that's it, I just don't need anymore. But I think it's something very powerful of hearing a story from the person that lived it. And also seeing how the student expressed those words through the body. I'm not the teacher, so I'm gonna speak from what I see from the work that Manuel does with the theater. So I might not be very like a theater technical here because I'm not the teacher, but what I see is that Manuel allows the student to own their narrative. So he helps on expressing, but first it comes from the person. How the person is feeling the anger, or how the person is feeling the sadness, or how the person is feeling the happiness. There's so much from each acting that comes from the person, and that's something very impressive to see. And I think this is how you see like the empowerment of the student, because how the monologue is acted, it's not given on a script, it's just assisted. So through like theater techniques, the person is guided but this is not a theater where you are a character and this is how you have to do things. So what we want, theater testimonial, testimonial theater is not just about what you write, it's about how you feel it, how you express it, how you move. Everyone moves different. There's people that are taller, shorter, different ages. And I think everything in the body communicates. Like, it's not the same seeing a woman that's 60 years old in stage than a man that is 22. There's different speed, there's different intonation, there's a different pace. So I think that's beautiful. Manu always says, like, this is pure humanity. I don't want a person to like act like, if you're Camila, I want to see Camila on stage, how Camila cries, how Camila laughs. We're not here like to act a role. We are here to be ourselves through theater. So I think that's
as well. So that, yeah. I think also like language and talking in our mother language adds a level of honesty, sense of humor. And I think it allowed us also to show a bit more our personality, how we really are.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of our students said like, guys, like you make us start with like the most hard thing that is like be ourselves. Everyone said, like, if you give me a character, it will be like so much easier to go on stage because like it's not me. But I really want to highlight how amazing our students are that write about things that have like huge meaning to them. They put their body on scene and they tell to 50 people that probably like they don't know about something so profound from their life. Yeah. Like the level of admiration I have for them is insane. I think you have to be very brave. You have to be very... I don't know. It's a lot of vulnerability, but what I think is most beautiful is like the respect that the audience have with those stories. Yes. And how, yeah, I think it's, and that's, I guess like the level of our students are the thing that makes us treat each story with a lot of respect. So we always try to like give our best with photography, with videos, try to make their experience as beautiful as possible, because what they are giving on stage, I think, doesn't have a price. Like it's huge. And we have like this big responsibility with everyone that if they're sharing their vulnerability, we need to provide a space where they feel that that can be done in a non-judgmental way.
Have you seen moments where someone's story or performance have moved the whole room or the audience, or maybe change how people see themselves?
Yes, yes. It's like all of the stories are so unique, so unique. I really love going to it's the second class when people bring their stories, and I love going to that class. It's very emotional. That's when the story is like raw. This is what I brought. Yeah, there are stories that are very sometimes triggering. And we also, well, Manu also like gives the support for transforming every story into something that doesn't expose the person in a way that might not be like beneficial, for example. So if there's something that is very hard to say, we find a way to make it, whatever it's saying, in comfortable. Yes, like from personal stories, family, expectation, heartbreak, existence. I think like every show resonates especially with someone. I have cried with stories that other people cry with another one. I think because you see yourself in some of them. For the past one, Frenesi, one of those stories was very similar to my story in terms of like family. And that one touched me like, no, I was like in tears. But there was another one from Fernanda that talked about the hills from Colombia. And I could see the Colombian people like sobbing. So, every story moves.
It's so special.
It's so, yeah, because like, yeah, there's, it's so broad, the topics, and also not all the topics are sad.
Okay.
They are humor, ironic.
Your different experience, emotions as well.
Yeah, and the way that they play is structured is that depending on the play, on the story energy, like for example, if one is like very deep and or has more like sadness to it, then a story that has more humor. So we're giving also like the audience like those breathing spaces to like engage with all the stories and to have that sort of like a roller coaster journey when you go up and down, sideways. So it, it feels like a very, like a very, you know, up and down journey.
Oh, crying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm a big defender that, what, you know, it's kind of like love songs that sometimes love songs that are about like a bit sadness.
Brings but like joy.
Yeah, but there's a lot of beauty in sadness, because behind sadness there's a lot of like resilience. And also something that we do is that we always encourage to always like end in a positive note, not diminishing that everything has to be positive, but always rounding up the monologues in the learning, in the in how that shaped you. Like it always has that, the monologue, it always has that sort of like note of sort of like adding a little another badge of my history badges, you know.
I think that's difficult, that's actually challenging. As an artist, I'm researching and I touch points on resilience, community, and radical joy, for example, and why radical joy interests me, because yeah, like being a migrant is very difficult, but I also try to challenge myself with my work not to make it all too sad, to leave room for hope.
Even the saddest story has beauty, and
yes,
everything has a
makes change. I think it allows room for change, for it can be possible, like any kind of change. I think it's always good.
Yeah.
And if it's because of a bad, of a negative experience. And I really like what you're saying about like the resilience. I think that's super, like a superpower that we have as migrants here.
Yeah. I think everyone, especially the guys telling their stories, despite how difficult the stories can be, they're on a stage performing, like transforming that story into art. Like I literally like, what, like what can be more beautiful than saying like this thing, it's should be on stage.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think like, because people bring their music, people bring their expression, I think it's just, it creates like a new dimension. It's like, I don't know, we all see things from a different point of view. And I think that's beauty of theater, that it's not digested. We don't give like digested information. I think everyone takes it and makes it their own. Like what I see on, yeah, sometimes, for example, the storyline can be, we do not control how people write. And that's something that like Manu try not to touch the essence of the writing. Sometimes people like are very descriptive. Some people are very like ambiguous, more conceptual. So I think not everything has to be like said in a digested, simple way. I think we have to listen to messages from their, like from like the main source. I think like, I think that's the beauty of seeing like, despite all of the courses have the same structure, every play is so different. So if you see all of the shows, you're just gonna see stories and stories and stories and stories, and all of them are gonna be so different, and there's so many layers. It's endless. It's it's a little, I enjoyed a lot. I think like I've never been so much in contact with like people's stories like the way we do now with Smoko.
It's making me like curious about the workshops. I'm definitely gonna have a look after the interview.
Well, in general, I think arts, it's a different, it's a difficult path. Probably like the biggest struggle of art always is money, resources, especially if you don't have grants. There are grants, we are applying for grants, but yeah, I think that's the biggest struggle. Renting rehearsal space is expensive. Paying for all of the things that we need, taxes, photographer, videographer, the ticketing system, everything is expensive. Big theaters are expensive. They're very booked up. So I think that's like always like the biggest issue so far to make this project work. It has to rely on a lot of hours that we do, me and Manuel, unpaid. So it has 80% love, 20% resources, which is always the thing with theater. But our main goal this year is to start finding partnerships, sponsors, applying to grants. This is our first year in Australia, so we're still learning how the grants
work. There's an art to it as well.
My God.
Events gathering and impact that you made. Yes.
Insane. What happened in New Zealand, for example, is that we applied for a grant. We worked really hard. And yeah, we didn't win the grant, but we had a sort of like a one-on-one feedback that you can go and, how you say, like, apelar?
Appeal? No.
Appeal.
Yeah.
And I remember that it was a contemporary show. And she says, like, I just don't see Latin America in this show. And I'm like, what do you mean? I don't know. Like, Latin America, you know? And she did like this little dance.
Oh.
Sort of.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, oh, you mean like,
right,
traditionally dances and and I feel like I understand where you come from, and there's actually people that do that amazingly, but also we can do contemporary art.
Yes.
Not all of the art we do has to represent the expectation of what Latin America is to a Kiwi, for example.
Yeah.
Like I think like we didn't feed on her stereotype of what Latin America is, because you can have Latin America heavy metal, you know, like we're so broad and not everything that we do has to tick the boxes of white people, to say like very straightforward. We have to do our art in the way that it makes sense like to us, because we are so multi-layered. So probably she was expecting something more more from a catalog, like Latin America with the stereotypes.
I agree, people related it with bright colors, maracas, and eat a lot of spicy food or Yes.
And they saw this show super minimalistic, you know, like more contemporary. We love like the industrial aesthetic. Very minimalist.
What industrial aesthetic?
We don't like to create sets with a lot of things. We're more like open space, couple elements.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Also because of resources, like we have to be like, you know, smart with what we have.
Resourceful, yeah.
Resourceful. And
I would say that's also another migrant superpower.
Wow. Yeah, we learn how to do everything with nothing.
With nothing.
And that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much, Camila, for the interview. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of the Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcast Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network with a special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. If you want to hear this show again or any of our previous programs, you can download the podcast from 3CR website 3cr.org.au. Go to Accent of Women page and follow the links to this week's show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write us to accentofwomen@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or a Facebook page. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'm Jimena and bye-bye. A la medida de mi frente imagino un precedente de historias puras que se juntan en un solo presente, olvidándome las cosas dolorosas que me matan de ti y recordando deliciosas con que me haces morir. A la medida de mi imagen.